brand new. And it means, too, that we have a brand new opportunity to see him and to seek him and to walk with him. And this is also a very special day of honoring the mamas among us. So I want to say thank you to all the precious ladies and moms. We bless and honor the nature of the Father himself, that he has invested uniquely in you to bring blessing to our land, to our families, and to this house. Thank you. Many, many reasons to say, bless the Lord.
So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship your holy name.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
I'll worship your holy name.
Sing again, you're rich.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find.
Need more.
Bless the Lord, oh my
precious love. There's nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Just ask him now. You open my eyes to your wonders in you. Come capture my heart with this love. Come away, my beloved. I come away, my beloved. I will show you my face, and my voice you will hear. I come away, my beloved. I come away, my beloved. My face will you see. My voice you will hear. God, come away, beloved. I come away, my beloved. I want to see your face. I want to hear your voice.
Precious to me.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me.
Oh, you won't get.
to me. You shadow, you won't light up, mountain, you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain, you won't climb up, coming after me.
I was just saying to George that those lies that he wants to, I've lost it already, tear down, the walls that he's going to kick down, I often think of those as, you know, those nasty people out there that put up walls against me and foster lies against me. Yes, God's going to tear those down, knock those down. But what about the walls that I've built inside me? What about the lies that I choose to believe? What about the lies that, okay, maybe I didn't consciously think about, but they're lies in me that I believe? He wants to tear those down, knock those down, clear those out as well. Yes, the evil people's work against me, but also the ones that are inside me that I've built, that I've believed, that I've made. He wants to tear those down so that his love can come.
You know, the computer has within it a program, multiple programs, but in your PC at home, you have a Word program that has, it's all laid out so that every time you push a period, the next time you enter a letter, what happens? Automatically capitalized. That is a very nice feature. But some of us, probably all of us, have some programs in us that have been skewed by the work of the enemy. It would be like the Word program. You push the period, and it's followed immediately with $4 signs. And every time you push the period, $4 signs.
You get the period plus $4 signs, and then you push the period in $4. And so you have to erase the $4 signs and be careful not to hit the period again before you can go on. Can you imagine how screwed up it would be to try to write a document that every time you push the period, you get $4 signs? Simply a programming problem. We have programming problems, too. And some of them, we don't have no clue how to erase those programming problems. But he does. And that's what Dave's talking about. We present ourselves this morning to fix, for you to fix, rewrite the program so that at the end of the period we get a capital and not $4 signs. Lord, write your program within us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Earlier this morning, Peter was busy, and we're busy. His interest is different than ours. Little yellow duckies are important. And we might smile and say, well, that's... we're just as stupid. We go pursuing after things that are meaningful only because... who knows? We know those need to be erased, too. We got any stupids that you need to erase? And Father, you know which ones are in us. And would you erase those things from us so that we would seek the things that really matter? Can you agree with that? That we would pursue the things that really matter. Kick down the lies that we have believed. And write in the things that really matter. We pray in Jesus' name. You agree with that? Amen, Lord. So do it. Do it for us in Jesus' name. We pray.
He's coming on the clouds, kingdoms, kings, and will bow down. And every chain will break, as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And every knee will bow before him. Open up, so open up the gates, make way before the King of Kings. Our God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. Well, who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power, fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And every knee will bow before him. The Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
not the Lord Almighty? Who can stop 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 the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him.
all you have is ours. And all you have is ours. We are yours. And all you have is ours. And all you have is ours. Cause we are yours.
Thank you for your abundant mercy and continuous faithfulness. We give you thanks. We bless your name. Be glorified within us, among us, I pray. In Jesus' name.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. It's a double-edged sword, it always is. And the Lord's been speaking to me a lot of the morning. I sent a lot of texts and some emails to some people who I wanted to honor and to bless. Because when you get caught up in the Hallmark moment of it, when you get caught up, one of the lies that David was talking about is, I didn't do it perfectly. I didn't do that, and I didn't know to do that. And I didn't have this and that and the other resource. And maybe I really made a bad mistake. And there's a baby in heaven waiting now. But the Lord is strong and mighty. He's the Lion of Judah. And he's breaking every chain. And I want to honor every one of you. Most of you, I know you personally. I know your struggles. I know some of the things that you've overcome. You fought for your kids in school, out of school, homeschool, special needs. You stood in the gap. Lisa, you're in the midst of it. I honor you and I bless you today. You're doing a good job, honey. It's hard. It's hard. It's a blessing, but it's hard. You already know I spoke to you. Shelly, God bless you, babe. You're a jewel in his crown. Bonnie Metz, faithful, faithful, faithful. We haven't seen all the end, you know. We don't see all the end of it right now. Mama Betsy, thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your example. Girlfriend. Nancy Fry. Aunt Nancy. Grandma Nancy, faithful. Faithful, house of John worker, that people don't see, the heart of the mother, but God sees it and he knows. He knows, he knows. We're so bombarded with the opposite end of the spectrum. We're so bombarded with the lies. I heard a woman on the radio this week, and she was saying, you know, we want to get our kids in the perfect school and the perfect this and the perfect. And it's like, we know the perfect one. So guess what? If you've led them to the perfect one with your prayers, with your example, on your knees, with your tears, you did what was right and what was good in his eyes. So I love every one of you, and I know the Father's heart is bursting for you. We talk about the Father's heart, but it's the Father and the Mother, and you know that. That's the completeness. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace to us and your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like Paula to give us a report on the events of the week from next door, and maybe if there's other things that need to be done still, you could give us a picture of that as well. Morning, Paula.
Happy Mother's Day.
This coming Saturday, we're going to have a cleanup around the church day. Dan, why don't we get a microphone here and tell us who can come and what do we need to bring in?
Anybody can come. Okay. Anybody can come help clean up.
And you shut up. I don't want any messages. I don't know who it is.
Wheelbarrows, shovels, rakes, and bodies would be very important. We'll bring the dead ones, too. We don't care. We'll take anybody. If you have a lawnmower that you want to cut and use for hauling a cart, that'd be fine. We got dirt to fill up all the dirt, all of the ruts in the yard. Don Davis, which I still have to call and say thank you, has filled in the parking lot in case everybody has noticed. Holes are all filled, and most of the chunks of the yard were raked out by Don. He did an awesome job again. So hedge trimmers, whatever tools you guys want to bring would be great. We need to go through the bushes and clean them up again, as well as cleaning up the yard, getting all the holes filled up and rake all the stones and that out. So it'd be greatly appreciated whoever can show up. Starting about 8 o'clock in the morning until whatever. Thank you.
All right, we'll try again. All right.
Nope. Okay. First off, my wife isn't going to talk only because one reason. It's like in this whole process of we've been helping the gentleman Patrick next door, throughout the whole process, every step of it, God has shown himself in more ways than one. And every time my wife starts thinking about it, that's when she comes overcome. And anybody knows my wife, when that happens, she, of course, the tears flow. It isn't her tears, it's the joy of God flowing through her. One of the things I want to say is I want to thank everybody that showed up to help over there in the final stages of getting it so that actually he could move in. The first statement he made when he walked in the place was like he could not, it was night and day of when he basically saw it before all the work was done and when he walked in. It went from being a trailer that basically looked like it was pretty much should be demolished to a place you can actually live in. He's actually doing very well, basically moving into it. He's got the transition and going from where he was at to here. And one of the things we've noticed over there is a lot of the neighbors have stopped by. They've talked, said how well the place is looking. And we're hoping forthcoming that Patrick will move out of his shell and start being part of the community again. Because that's unfortunately what happened. Bob, you'll understand this. A lot of the vets, what's happened is they kept on, they're too proud to ask for the help. And they keep on getting moved farther and deeper into a well that the enemy wants them into. And there's nobody to draw them out. Well, God saw that there was a need, and he actually put a person in place. And it wasn't really my wife. It was him going through the person that basically contacted my wife. That was the trigger. Everything else just sort of flowed. So we're after now is God's moving Patrick back into the community where he feels like he's part of the community again. There is a lot of work still left to be done. There's still flooring that has to be done, windows that has to be done, trim and work around the outside. But just the little bit that's been done so far has been, how do you say, it's like outstandingly overwhelming. Because it's basically people are seeing that God's presence is moving into there. I mean, Shelly's already there, God's presence, they know it there. Well, it's now spreading different spots. So the more he shows up there, we'll turn that whole trailer park into a revival place if we do it right. It'll be just an extension of the church. It'll be outside of the church. That's where God wants us to be, outside of the church. Now, I don't know. Did I say everything you wanted to say? You think you can talk now? Nope. if anybody has any questions, they can text my wife, talk to my wife. But, like, once again, I want to thank all those that not only just physically but in prayer. Oh, and here's one of them right here. This is a very outstanding person who has stepped forward that you would never really know because she wants to. Yeah.
Jim did an awesome job with the water. It was, they'd never turned off the pipes, and he had a lot of work to do to get that water running again before Patrick moved in. And Paula kept taking pictures. There were cars from our church parked all the way down, and she would send them to Patrick. But what I see in that is people were seeing the love of the church over there. The whole trailer park was seeing that love. Their necks would be turned to see what was going on every time they drove by.
And the one night, there were 12 vehicles there. And different people from the community, they all go for walks over there, and they'd come by, and they'd be like, are you the people from the church? So, you know, everything's just spreading over there. But what I want to say, even with, it literally wasn't just that he moved, it was okay for him to move in. It is, the parts that are done are beautiful. God orchestrated the kitchen, a gorgeous black fridge. And then this person just donates this microwave that happens to be black and stainless steel. Gorgeous. Dorothy happened to get a black and shiny silver toaster, not even knowing that the theme was black. He has a black coffee maker. We got this beautiful, the only stove that was offered is black and stainless steel. The counters, the hood, it's like the whole, it looks like rich, the kitchen. In every single step, every single thing that's been done, God has just shown himself right in the midst of it. He is doing every single thing over there. He's doing every single thing in Patrick. And we're just overwhelmed by his goodness through it all.
The other thing is not only that it's God's color coordination theme that he wants. That's why he puts it on people's hearts. It's like they buy like the toaster, not knowing the fact that that's the color scheme, the drapes, the color scheme, the bedding color scheme, the bed donated by a pastor's daughter who's going to college, that's moving, an $800 bed that's never really been used, donated for free once she found where it was going, a $4,000, was it living room set that the people wanted to sell but wound up donating because when they heard it's about, when it's reached out, God reaches out and touches these people. I sometimes I'm thinking they don't know why, just they know, and they do it. And then that's the trickle effect, that now all of a sudden they feel good in their heart of what they've done. And we don't know what's going to happen. They're out there. That's his love just spreading out because they've loved on somebody. That's God loving back on them.
And while the major thrust of the work was from folks around here, there were other church people participating as well. So, you know, it's a big, big effort. And I appreciate the work that you folks put into it. Hours and hours of work.
I just wanted, there's another ministry, unfortunately, I think we're getting involved in now, which is the cookie ministry at the VA. I don't know if my wife will continue it. I think she should in a way, because one of the things when she was going down there, she was taking cookies, brownies, and I'm not sure whatever else they'd make. And it got to where the people down there were knowing the cookies. That's what was known. And that's God's love going back in, because they're down there. They really are. It's, once again, it's a small little community of people that, 53 guys that really have nobody outside of that place that now are being touched by a cookie. And not just them, but the people that are the workers. I was like, oh, that's the one who brings the cookies, and they're enjoying them too. Right. And they know that it's also God reaching in there. So that's where you've always said is the ministry is outside of the church.
Outside the four walls is where it's happening. And we thank you, Lord.
Yeah. I remember years ago when we walked the trailer park and we walked this neighborhood and prayed for the trailer park.
Yep.
This is the fruit of it.
Yes. A lot of times we think nothing happened. Our timing is really bad. God's timing is perfect. And by the way, you've done some walking in Newark that we are going to see some reaping out of too. So thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for what's coming in the days ahead. All the people say,
Amen.
Amen. Just a reminder that this week is Food Pantry Week and work to be done right here at the house, inside the house as well as outside the house. The sign-up sheet, is that going? Passing it on, make sure Jocelyn gets a chance to sign up. I wouldn't want her to miss out her opportunity. I don't think she knows how to drive a tractor, so. Yes, sir. Back to you, Don. Jim.
Whoever I am. I was going to say, if God puts it on your heart, put your neighbor's name on there.
You can. Jim is spelled J-I-M. Help yourself. All right. Anything else that we need, Becky? All right. Years ago, many years ago, we drove stakes on the four corners of Wayne County, claiming Wayne County for the Lord. I'll tell you one thing that just delights me. That happened on the night that we were staking out all of Wayne County. One of the teams was assigned to do the northwest corner of Wayne County out toward the lake. And I don't remember who was it. You were in that group? And they get out there, and they found another group of people out there staking, which was Monroe County people staking Monroe County. And so Monroe County and Wayne County staked it together. We staked Wayne County, and Monroe County was being staked out the same night at the same place, which is rather incredible. I think only God could manage to pull that off, and probably chuckled in heaven when he had that unusual opportunity to show that he was involved in the thing. Yes, Betsy.
Yes, you did the corners.
You did the corners, but you also did. I don't know who you are right
yeah.
now. We also did all the town offices,
all the town halls,
the schools, the prison. We did all the important functioning
offices.
Buildings in
yeah.
the county.
So the county has been well documented as belonging to the Lord, and we, as Nancy has declaring. We are collecting on what was declared years ago. We're collecting, and we'll continue to collect. We see God do his good work throughout the county. Keep that. Make sure the book gets around to everybody. And now, bless you guys. Have a great week in the Lord. And George is going to come and share stuff with us.
Well, good morning, and good morning. Many blessings upon you. I do want to honor the moms among us, and I just declare that you are honored. You're honored of God, and I bless you as moms. And I thank you for being willing moms and being gracious moms. I have a mom. Anybody else have a mom? Well, good. A few of us are aware of how things work, apparently. I have a mom. She's a good mom. And I really appreciate my mom. She wished me a happy Mother's Day today. She says it's because I made her a happy mother. There's something to that that I'd like us to consider a moment. Because it is we that have the opportunity to live in such a way as to have happy mother. We all have a mother. I just feel like there's something interesting about having a happy mother and about who we are to be a happy mother. Anyway, I bless you guys. I want to talk to you about motherhood today. Not surprisingly, perhaps. Perhaps somewhat surprisingly, are you aware that there really is a Mother Earth? Do you know that? You know, typically we don't like the term because people use it to try to exclude the effects and reality of Father God. But do you know that God honored dirt because he grabbed some of it and formed it into his own image and breathed into it? Are you aware that God honored dirt by allowing even this earth to be something of a mother in which he put his life such that it could produce, as a womb, sons and daughters for himself? A mother isn't a mother without a father. Anybody ever notice that? There's an order to the thing. And the father selects the mother. And then, out of the union of those things, there's a creative thing that happens. God honored the earth by making it a womb for his sons and daughters. God honors every mother among us. He himself selects you and honors you, specifically you. He honors you by making you a mother. You see, you don't just become a mother without the breath of God being available to your child. It just doesn't work. Sure, we know the mechanics. We understand the process. But let me just tell you something. God himself is the one that is intimately involved in that creation. And he honors you, Jocelyn, by welcoming you into a co-creative process. And out of you, out of your birthing process, he produces sons and daughters for himself. God honors you as a woman, each one, each mother. He honors you. And he honors you further by allowing your womb to be the housing for his creation during its earliest and formative stages. Do you know that? Anybody ever seen a pregnant woman? I have a question for you. Is she beautiful? Isn't she remarkably beautiful? Want to know why? She is a favored, gifted, graced woman. That's why. By God. What a remarkable thing that God would take a piece of dirt and honor it, and then take a woman and honor her by inserting into her His creation and co-creating with her. You guys know the story, I'm quite certain, of a particular woman in whose womb He chose to place Jesus, His Son. An angel came along to this virgin named Mary, and coming into her, he said, "Greetings, favored one." The word favor there, I can't remember how to pronounce it, maybe somebody can, but I know the root. The root is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S, which is gift or grace. It's the root that we get charismatic, because charismatic people are known for operating in the gifts and the graces of God. But grace, charis, and favor are connected. Greetings, favored, gift bestowed woman. Greetings, said the angel. Gifted with grace and favor of the Lord. The Lord is with you, he says. Now, I'm just going to give away my approach here today. God honored dirt. God honors every woman and every mother. And God honors His church. Let me say this to you. The church is the bride of Christ, pure and holy. She's, in some sense, the virgin bride of Christ, pure and holy. But He honors her, like He did with Mary, by giving her a womb and causing her to be a productive, favored, birthing a womb to birth forth sons and daughters for Himself. God is a creative God. And it's astounding that He would take dirt and make it humanity. You know that He spoke. And, you know, He said, let the earth bring forth this, and let the seas bring forth that, and let there be light, right? And then He took dirt with His hands, and He formed it. And He breathed His life into it. He honored the process. He honored the dirt, and He honored the process by which humanity was created. And then He honored humanity. And He said, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Bring My kingdom with you everywhere, expand. And you see, in the heart and in the drive of humanity is the great initial commission, that initially great commission to multiply and cover the earth and to do it with Him. Okay, that's part of the great initial commission. But He honored the dirt, and He honored the people, and He honored mamas by giving them the possibility of creation and co-creation and procreation. And then He honored us
as the church. I'm going to go back to reading Mary's story because I want you to listen to it with Mary as a type for the church, with Mary as a type for you and me. Because you see, she is, in fact, a type or a form or a model for who we are called to be. On Mother's Day, as we honor our moms, and as we honor God for making moms who they are, there's some things that we can understand. Greetings, favored one. Greetings, gifted one, with grace and much favor. The Lord is with you. Can I just say that to you? You ready? I'm saying it to you now, because you're the church, right? Receive it as such. Greetings, favored one. Greetings, gifted one. Greetings, graciously favored one. The Lord is with you. She was very perplexed at this statement, and she kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. You have found grace. You have found gifting with God." Can I say to you? Greetings, favored one. Don't be afraid, for you have found favor, grace with God. Behold, you will conceive. Say, I will conceive. Go ahead. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jehovah Saves. You shall call his name Jesus. You shall call his name Jehovah Saves. Are you ready to bear forth a seed that says Jehovah Saves? Are you ready for the name of your seed to be Jehovah Saves? Would that be okay with you? You and me both, okay? Mind if I get in on this? Is it all right with you guys? Can I be part of this game? Because I'm eager to be that, okay? He will be great. And he will be the Son of the Most High God. Sons and daughters of the Most High God. How about it? You into it? Okay, me too. He will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will have no end. Did you know that your offspring is called to reign? Are you aware of that? Your offspring is called to reign. Somebody could say hallelujah, it'd be okay. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" I want to point out something to you. She didn't say, like Zacharias said, just a little bit before that. Zacharias said, "Well, how will I know this is so?" Which was a faithless statement, and he got called on it. She said, "How? What's the mechanism by which this could possibly happen?" That's what she was saying. Help me to understand the mechanism. And the angel didn't shake his finger at her. He said, "Yeah, I can help you out with that. Here's the answer. The Holy Spirit will be upon you." Say, "The Holy Spirit will be upon me. And the power of the Most High will be overshadow me. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." You are called to be honored as God has honored mothers of all time. You are called to be honored. You are called to have a part in the birthing of His children. "And behold, even your relative Elizabeth is conceived, for nothing will be impossible with God." Let me hear you say that. Let's say it one more time, a little bit more loudly and firmly. Nothing. Thank you, thank you. And Mary said, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord." I'd like you to respond to the Lord. Actually, just close your eyes. And let me just say to you, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, your holy offspring shall be sons and daughters of God. And I want you to say, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord." Say it. "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." There's a principle of mothering that I feel very strongly I want to bring out. My mom is very intelligent. She knows a great deal. And I can remember when I was a small child learning to read in her lap and enjoying reading together in her lap. I remember this. And she wasn't reading at the limit of her capacity. She could have been reading things that were far more analytical, far more developed. She instead was reading, as I recall, children's books with me. Principle. She was intelligent. She became as ignorant on my behalf. Now, my mom is skilled. She had... She was a dental assistant for a while. Throughout her years, she has been many things. She did the books for the town one year, right? Isn't that the accounting or something like that? The taxes. She ran whole schedules with Dad for the school. She's done many things, but I want to tell you, she was skilled. But she became as my slave. And when I vomited on the floor, she cleaned it up. She was skilled, and she became as an unskilled worker. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That was my mom. My mom knows how to be in charge, and she knows her authority. But many times with me, rather than ruling, she served me. My mom has freedom. She could be free to do just about anything, but she chose to be as a slave for me. There's a principle here. I don't want you to ever be slave to sin or forced to be subjugated and pushed down. That's not really what I want for you. I don't want you to be poor. I don't want you to be dead. I want you to be alive. But can I tell you this? When you're alive, then you can die. When you are wealthy, you can become poor for someone. When you are free, you can choose to enslave yourself for someone else's benefit. And I'm going to tell you something. There's something about the mother in the middle of that, that chooses to put aside her crown so that she can pick up her towel. There's something about a mother who lays aside honor in order to be abased because she sees a greater honor. There's something about the mother that is willing to lay down her ruling capacity so that she can serve because she sees the power of that authority accomplishing great things. She puts her own strength down and becomes as weak in order to strengthen someone else. Does that make sense to you? She takes what is already her strength and she becomes as weak for the good of someone else to lift the other up, to make them strong. There's something powerful. There's something powerful. See, I'm not asking you to be abased. because you're a victim. I'm asking you to become abased because you are the conqueror of all victimization. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Mothers understand investment.
This is
because
true.
That's an investment.
It's an investment.
For the future.
It is. It is. And let me just say to you, I'm not saying to you something that Jesus didn't do himself. Let's face it. He chose... okay. Talk about poverty, okay? He has everything, and he chose to be born in a... the leftover stable where there wasn't any place else. I mean, the last place that anyone would want to be. In fact, it was the last place open. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It was probably pretty ugly, dirty, nasty. He chose. Was he wealthy? Was he wealthy? Anybody ask me. He was ultimately wealthy, but he laid aside his wealth in order to come under and to bring up. He laid aside his life because as he died, he sprung to new life and with him created much life. He laid aside his wholeness. Can I tell you this? You are called to do the same. I'm not saying that you are called to be imposed upon by the enemy in brokenness. You are called to willingly give up your wholeness to be broken for wholeness. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You are called to be honored like a mother. Church of God, you're called to be honored like a mother. Are you sane? You straightforward? Clever? Then maybe you should be as crazy, as simple to promote another. Surely we use our freedom that we would be as slaves of someone else to raise them into freedom. And I'm going to just tell you something. Having freely chosen to die, Jesus was made aliver. Can I say the word? Okay. Having intentionally chosen to be broken, Jesus not only made you and me whole, but is, could I say wholer? Okay, I don't, could he be whole? I don't even know that. But for real, the mama's heart puts herself down because she couldn't do otherwise. And she's fulfilled having been the slave, having been abased, having taken her intelligence and set it aside to raise up my intelligence. Did you see what I'm trying to say? Paul says, be all things to all people. That means that to some people, maybe you're going to come off like you're wealthy. But to a lot of people, you're going to come across as poor. To some, you may come across as knowledgeable. But to many, you'll come across as humbly seeking truth. Can I just tell you? People need you to lay down your heavenly so that you can come under them and raise them into the heavenlies. And together you are more whole than you were before. And together you are more alive than before you died. And together you are more healed than you were before. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is important for us to actually be willing to take both. Receive both sides, okay? It's okay to take both. Now, I'm not saying you take it as a victim. Okay? Please, don't. It's okay for you to even have poverty, but only out of wealth, not out of a different mentality. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's okay for you to die, but only out of life and to life. You give up your life, okay? And it's good to die, but only out of life and into life.
Your life, his life, he gave up his life so that he could be liver, but so that he could give life. He gave up health in order to healthier, in order to be the source of health, the source of life. We become the source as well.
I'm talking very practically here, okay? And I really want us to get a practical understanding of what we're talking about. I like how Paul, wandering around Greece, sees this, I can't remember what it was, like, you know, some statue or something to the unknown God. And he lowers himself to the state of understanding that with the Greeks. If by his ignorance he could draw some into knowledge, he came to that place. Do you see what I mean? I will tell you very practically that if you cannot connect with someone on their in their failure, then or their lack of knowledge, or their broken spot, if you can't reach to that place, then how will you draw them out? Jesus reached. Do I have a microphone somewhere? Oh, here it is. Jesus reached all the way to their brokenness, to my brokenness, to your brokenness, and helped them to understand and identified with them. Let them identify with him. And once they identified with him, game was over.
This is really submission.
It is.
It's laying down your will by choice.
Yes.
Not thy will, right?
Not my will.
Yep. But thy will be done.
Yeah. Yes.
Wives, submit to your husband.
Sure.
That's a willing choice to submit.
Yep.
Submit to the Father, resist the devil, and he will flee. It's all related to a will that you have laid down of your own volition.
Yes.
Because you're submitting to the higher will, which is the Father,
yeah,
and doing it his way after his role modeling for us through his Son.
And the essential thing that you say, you have your own will in this, and you have choice. It's not that you're not forced. The power in it is from your choosing to die for. You're choosing to come under. You're choosing of your own poverty in order to raise up someone else. It's essential. And I've seen this so many times. People often come to me, you know, and here I am, great Pastor George or something, right? So people come to me. And they want me to tell them they want me to behave like a pastor, okay? And to tell them what they gotta do.
Yeah.
And many times I will refuse. And I'll tell you why. I instead would much prefer to come alongside them, put my arm around them, and say, yep. I feel with you, you know, and in fact, you know, here's my experience that's kind of similar to yours, Jerry. Here, you know, we're the same guy. I am not from way up here declaring down onto somebody some truth that they should come on, climb on up, you know, because you got to move it, buddy. I come down and sit with Jerry. And then with Jerry, want to walk upward with him. And this is the reality of your Savior. Bob?
That was a great lead-in for a subject of choice. There's an old cliche, we get to choose our friends, but not our relatives. And then I heard something recently which touched me, which was that friends are God's apology for your relatives. The point, though, is choice. And on Mother's Day, and this is a message not for Father's Day, but for Mother's Day, there are a group of people, and George and I have a little bit in common here, in the sense that there are men, there are fathers who are put in the role of being mothers. And that is something that most men are not prepared for. And then there are women that are put in the role of motherhood who not necessarily are mothers to their own children. So we ought to recognize the categories of people who, sometimes not by choice, but by tragedy or circumstances, and other times by personal choice, take on a role willingly, in the case of women, for someone else's children, natural children, or men because of circumstances, who are thrust in the role of trying to fill the role of mothers. And as Diane aptly said, some of us do well, some of us do not do well. But we have a God that can forgive, regardless.
Yeah, and he does well, and he's willing to help us. See, when we go low to go for lower to raise someone else up, if you were to look down from your spot, you'd find God down there, because he goes lower yet to lift us up as we lift another up, and he's always there to go low for us.
To build off this, it's the key word is willingness.
Willingness. Yeah, and choice.
When you said about Jesus being born,
yeah,
coming under,
yeah,
as low as you can go to come under. Jesus, he could have like come in and said, and God would agree to him, I'm going to come in as the King of Kings, that's who I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in, I'm going to force my holiness upon them.
Yeah.
I'm going to put pressure on them, push it down onto them, because
yeah,
I am the King of Kings, I can do that.
Right.
Jesus submitted to God.
Yeah.
His willingness was to do what God's will was. He came underneath.
Yeah.
And as a sith, or what do you call it when you sift out flour? You know, whatever.
Yeah.
You're sifting. He came underneath. And you can look at it two different ways. He sifted. He either sifted out the goodness, left it behind for everybody else, or he kept the goodness in the sith and left the evil behind. Either way, he came, and it wasn't pressure that he forced the holiness upon us. It was through his willingness to allow us, without pressure, to make our own choice. Because, you know, if you force something upon somebody, they regret it.
Yeah.
They fight it.
And there's no choice in for them.
Right, there's no choice. He allowed that through gentleness, through kindness, through a willingness to submit to God to save us.
By the way, that's what mothers do all the time. What Bob was saying about being a mother,
it's the willingness to take on that responsibility. As a father, to take the role of a mother in case of a circumstance where something has happened, a tragedy, or a mother that takes a child and a willingness to raise it for whatever reason, that's when the goodness comes. Because they're not fighting God's will. They're submitting to it and willing to do it.
The key principle I want to affirm again is it's not out of... See, it's truthfully, okay, so I'm going back to my little circumstance with Jerry, okay? And Jerry shares, let's just say Jerry shares his brokenness with me. Now, the truth is, in most of the circumstances that I'm talking about, I have known brokenness in something that's analogous to Jerry's situation. I have actually known my own brokenness. And I am healed. But because of where I've been, because I'm healed, I can move down underneath his brokenness to buoy him to that same place of healing. If, on the other hand, I look down at him from my place of healing with conceit or sneering or, well, I hope you get it right like I did, there's that's a depression and a shoving down of Jerry. Does that make sense? But if I can identify first, come down and identify, and then walk us upward. This is God's use and honoring of this clay to birth, this womb to birth a healing, a life, a son or a daughter of God. Do you still have the mic?
I've shared this before, and this goes so right. It's just been so on my heart for such a long time, and it goes right along with what you're saying in this book of mysteries by Jonathan Cahn. It's the only thing I've read yet in that book. I just haven't got, and I just happened upon it. This one page, I opened it, and for 2 months, I just can't get away from this. I'm just going to read this first paragraph. The cosmic love. Define love, said the teacher. Love is to want the best for another, I replied. Yes, he said, and to put it another way, love is to put yourself in the place of another, to feel their feelings, walk in their shoes, weep with their tears, rejoice with their joys, take upon yourself their burdens, and give to them your life. And that's truly
That is love. That is mother's love. That is the mother heart of God. That is love.
When Jeremiah, my son, went to heaven, before that, in that time, we were doing a song, words that the Lord gave me. We're coming, and the words go, in the shadow of your wings, Lord, in the shadow of your wings, heart to heart. That's where I know I need to start, because you need to be in your heart, you need to be honest and broken, you know, it was like heart to heart. Lord, that's where I know I need to start, is in the shadow of your wings, you know, and it's that brokenness in that place that that I was able to get closer to God, because I was in His wing, in His heart, you know.
Yeah.
Like in the heart of the Lord, He held me in His wings, and I could cry, and the Holy Spirit, just the love of God was so strong.
It's
and
a safe and healing place to be there. And let me just say that when we can reach to and identify, I understand where you're coming from. I also have experienced a facet of your pain. Maybe not all of your pain, but a facet of your pain. When we can do that, identity becomes a shared thing. When we allow our identity to become a shared thing, our healing can become a shared thing. When our death is shared, our life can be shared. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And it's not a huge leap for a broken person with whom you can identify, and they can identify with your brokenness. It's not a huge leap for them to begin to identify with your wholeness. It's a very, could I say, natural, supernatural principle. There's a powerful principle in motherhood, and that is something that we all, when we say, what is it we say? We say, behold the bondslave of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word. When we say that, what we're saying is, I will take on the role of a womb. I will take on the role of dirt. I will go under and I will buoy up. I will birth. Let me tell you this. There's a process of birthing. Not every, in fact, never for human babies are you conceived and born on the same day. It just, I mean, it's not, okay? There's a protecting and keeping, holding, growing, nurturing time. And it's a good thing. And we can even participate in that. We don't have to get to the birthing spot instantly. In fact, it'd be a bad idea lots of times. Do you see what I mean? I don't want to stretch that analogy too far, but the reality is that we can give people time by holding them, by embracing them and the womb that we are. Behold the bondslave of the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word. There's a couple of other scriptures. I appreciated what Suzanne put out there with respect to submitting. Submitting, this is us submitting to our husband, okay? And there's numerous scriptures. Let's face it, even submission isn't a very popular term. But there are numerous scriptures where we can recognize the incredible value that we can be as the mother, as the woman, as the host of the presence of God. Watch. I'll just read you a few scriptures. And this is to you. Would you receive this? Men, as the church, will you receive it? Women, as the church, will you? Likewise, women, I want you to adorn yourselves with proper clothing. Now, again, look at this. Please, don't get distracted with the physical. See what we're talking about in the natural, in the spiritual, okay? Adorn yourselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly. You know, the reality is that if I wear weird clothes, I can put people off. Did you know that? People can see me. If I act in a way that's unbecoming or indiscreet, I can prevent people from ever even reaching me. Do you understand that? So somehow I have to become all things to all people. I have to dress myself modestly and discreetly, not in a way that inspires ugliness or antagonism or lust after me as the church, but in a way that draws people to my holiness, my wholeness. Okay? Not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works. This is back to Suzanne. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. What does that mean? I need Jesus to talk to me every moment. If I'm going to be this mother of the children of God, which I'm called to be, we are called to be the mother of the children of God. Are you aware of that? You're called to be a mom. If you're going to be that, then you need to be in this always being instructed mode. Always being instructed. Here's another one that I've personally sometimes struggled to even understand in the scriptures, okay? But in this context, it's easy for me, okay? You ready? Women will be saved through the bearing of children if they continue in faith and love and sanctity with self-restraint. Okay, so what are we going to receive out of that? Faith. Let me just say to you, your simple, like nuggets of believing are powerful, and you continue in those because you'll bear children because of them. Just the simple, tiny nut, Father is good. I don't understand much, but Father is good. Can't tell you how many times I've said those words. I don't understand it all, but this I can tell you. In my life, it was hard, and I don't really understand it all, but I know Father's good in it. How about that? That's my testimony. And people can identify with it. You have the same one. Nuggets of faith. Love. Our world is so full of false love and hatred and rejection and manipulation that tiny little nuggets of real love make all the difference in the world. Church, bride, holy virgin bride of Christ, love is your calling card. Love is the thing that radiates, that draws, that brings life and sanctity with self-restraint. Let me say this to you. You don't need to tell people all the truth you got. Self-restraint. Restrain yourself. What you need to tell them is what they need to receive. Do you see what I mean? There's a place that's birthing. That's birthing. You know that unborn children never eat whole broccoli. They only eat it processed through mama and mama's bloodstream. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Is broccoli good for you? Yep. But they don't ever eat whole broccoli. Got it? Do you see what I'm trying to say? And it's okay. It's okay for you to give them just a little bit of the nutrients out of it. Just what they need. Okay? Not something too big for them. See, because it's not about the fact that you can eat broccoli, okay? Just because you know it all doesn't mean that they need to. You don't need to show off that you can eat broccoli, okay? Instead, go ahead, eat the broccoli. And then just give them what they need, what grows them. A little here and a little there. There'll be time when you'll chop up the broccoli nice and fine, cook it to smithereens, and pop it into their mouth. And then one day they'll have, you know, the whole sprout. But right now, what do they need? What do they need? We will be preserved through the bearing of children if we continue in love and faith and sanctity, the holiness of God, with self-restraint. There's many others, if you're interested, and they're powerful. If you read this as to you, the church, and if you can't figure out where God's calling you up, then you didn't read it, okay? I'll just tell you that. What do they call it? When you spill the beans before you get to there, you showed the end of the story and spoiler, there you go. Spoiler alert, that's what I was going after. Spoiler alert, very good. Let me tell you a few other things, I'll give you a couple of scriptures you can read. Titus 2, 3 through 5, 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. But I want to read to you a section out of 1 Timothy chapter 3 that's talking about wives of deacons. And I want us to receive it as the church, okay? Because there's some really significant things here. Their wives should be dignified. There is a dignity to us that's not about the fact that we're super high class or way above everybody. There's a dignity to us that comes from who we really are. And so even if we show up in our rags, even if we're broken and show up as broken or show up as poverty stricken or show up as unloved or show up as the servant of all, okay? Even if we show up as under, there's a dignity to us because we come from above. Do you understand what I mean? And that's one of the key issues why we must never come from our true victimization. It's from our wholeness that we can come under because there's a dignity when I give up for you, okay? Women must be dignified. And then it says, not malicious gossips. And the crazy thing about that is that sounds nasty. You know, if you called somebody a malicious gossip, that's saying, you're saying things that aren't true or possibly maybe a little bit true, but you're doing it in an evil way, right? That, but guess what? That was a really nice interpretation because what actually the word there is diabolo. The devil, the adversary, the false accuser. Now let me just say to us as the woman in the picture, we have to watch what our mouth says, okay? Because it's so easy, and the church has done an awful lot of this, and so we better watch it, okay? Because the church having done that, they expect it out of you, okay? They expect it out of you. They expect diabolo out of your mouth, the false accuser out of your mouth. That's what they expect. They expect you to tell them what a bad person they are because they're gay. They expect you to tell them what a bad person they are because they steal. They expect you to tell them what a bad person they are for whatever reason it is. And yeah, you can tell them what a bad person they are because of those things, and you and the devil would be right. Because that's not what they need. Let me just tell you something. There's no secret. They can say that they're all good. But we all know, and they all know. Okay? You know what they need? You to come under and say, I was stuck in my sin too. And I understand being stuck in sin. And the good news is that there's freedom. But let me be your slave for a while. Let me be your slave so that I can walk with you and help you walk out of where you are. Oh, they're so prepped for you to falsely accuse them. Doesn't even matter whether it's true or false. The accusations against the person. And Father wants to draw the person. He's not, can I just tell you something? Father's not against thieves. He's for them. Oh, no, he's not for their thievery. It's destructive to them. Do you know that? Thievery is destructive to the thief. It hurts them. So he hates that thievery. Is that okay with you if God hates their thievery? Is that okay? He hates that because it hurts them. But his calling card on the cross wasn't, you stinking thief, repent for your thievery. No, he was, I see that little tiny bit of faith in you. You're going to come with me. Identify with me and let's go together. I think maybe that was what Jesus did on the cross. Anybody remember? Here's the real deal. We have all experienced the damaging and binding and destructive and all wrapped up and twisted hold of sin. And if we can't identify, if you can't remember that, okay, then ask God to remind you, okay? Because you need to remember it because you need to know from whence you have been saved so that you can go back and identify with and draw someone else into a place of freedom. Okay, wives must be dignified, not malicious gossips, not false accusers. Want to know why it's a false accusation? It's not because it factually is. It's because Jesus died for those sins. Did you know that? Jesus, you know, for the total promiscuous person, do you know that Jesus died for every single one of those promiscuous acts? Do you know that? Every single one of them. The enemy would like to have them remain unpaid. And so thus, he is the false accuser always. That's what he does. He doesn't need our help. I'm not saying that we should call black white. I'm not. Okay? But be careful when you're calling black black because you're going to call people black and God doesn't want them called black. God wants them drawn to himself. Got to be very. I mean, it's one of these impossibilities. You better be submitted. What was the word? You better receive instruction with entire submissiveness because you can't figure it out otherwise. Okay, do you see what I'm trying to say? Woman of God. Church of God. Get it right. Be discreet, okay? Back to the deacon's wife. Dignified, not a false accuser. Discreet and sober. She's careful. Just saying it right and discreet. What does a discreet person do? Makes sure that he doesn't create unnecessary waves while he's doing the necessary task. Do you see what I'm trying to say? That's what a discreet, sober person does. Does that make sense? Faithful in all things. Full of believing in all things. Faithfully full of faith in all things. We in our Greek mindset, think that faithful and full of faith are two different things. Let me just bring them together. Always consistently being full of faith is what we're talking about. I will be done very soon here. But I want to honor you mothers. And I want to honor you church as the incredibly graced, favored, gifted, holy woman selected by God to be fruitful in producing His children.
I want to honor my wife for the wholehearted mothering.
Me too.
That she does of from Kira, William, Colin, Sadie, Luke, Anna, and Rowan. Just the wholehearted. I know it's. I'm looking for a different word other than wholehearted, but it's a bigger word than we.
Your word? It's she's all things to all people. She has to be all things to, and they have different needs. And so she's all things to all people in her home, right? Yes. Is that a fair?
And she is being just an amazing mama to all of these kiddos, as well as to number 8, which is on the way.
Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Lord, we worship you and we bless you because we have wonderful expectation of our 8th baby in the Doug. What's that? 8 in October. Awesome. Lord, we just bless and speak health and life over this woman, her womb, and her child in Jesus' name, Lord. And we just delight in your grace. We delight in your goodness, in your gift that is Lisa, and gift that is our precious Douglas child in Jesus' name. Congratulations, you guys. And I declare over you fruitfulness. Let Lisa be a prophetic existence to who you are as you, Virgin Bride of Christ. Let the Spirit of God come upon you, overshadow you, and cause you to produce that holy child, that holy offspring that you are called to produce. Lord, we agree to that. Say amen.
Amen.
We want that. Say amen.
Amen.
Make us like that holy woman that you have called us to be. Cause us to be discreet and full of faith and faithfully full of faith. Cause us to be never accusing, but always bringing hope. Cause us to be that honorable vessel. Cause us to be that perfect, ready. Okay, how do you want to make this work, God? Woman, that you have us to be. Cause us to choose to even give up our honor where abasement would release life. Cause us to choose the role of servant instead of rule, where that would release life. Cause us to be a slave instead of free, where we can choose that and produce life. Cause us to choose, to emphasize as though we were still broken out of our wholeness in order to produce wholeness in life and others. Cause us even to give up everything like you did in order to produce infinitely more for your heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Mother's Day to you all, especially to your physical mamas, but happy Mother's Day to you all. Lord bless you. Thanks for being here today.